about the Quality Inn in Bristol, Virginia.
Shh. I'm still trying to be quiet. I still don't want that guy to hear me. If he wants to hear me, he can listen to my show. He can go to martinsender.com.
Yeah, well, I figured I'm going to be getting home late tomorrow, probably, you know, so I'm on a roll here. I got my pillows stacked up still, and I thought I might as well go ahead and make another show, get it logged in, get it in the queue, and you'll be listening to this Tuesday, even though it's still Sunday for me here in Bristol, Virginia. Once again, this is Martin Zender from Bristol, Virginia. Yeah, it is. This is the race car place, the NASCAR circuit. Bristol Motor Speedway, yeah, went right past it today. That's where I am right now. Virginia is a very pleasant state. It's a mile down here compared to Windburg, Pennsylvania, where I will be tomorrow, where there's ice and snow and all those wonderments. I did get a good deal at this place, $52. You know, I stayed at a it was $58. I was at a Motel 6 last week. And it was about $6 cheaper. It was funny. I was making my reservation on the phone, and I asked the lady, do you take Auto Club AAA? And she goes, no, neither one. They're the same thing. Auto Club AAA, that's where I put it. She goes, no, we don't accept either one of those. But this Quality Inn did take my Auto Club discount, so that was a good deal. All right, now we're going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you. There's nobody else in this room. It's just me and my coffee maker and my plastic cup. And I'm really interested in this topic of the discipline of the Lord. Because I believe, as you know, maybe you don't know, you might be hearing this for the first time. No pain, no gain. Now, for years, some of the exercise gurus tried to tell you that no pain, no gain was bogus. They said, you just have to just work out easily. You know, just go for a little stroll when you go for a walk. And when you're lifting weights, take half-pound weights, or better yet, just put a nickel in each hand and then do, you know, 600 repetitions as fast as you can. As long as it doesn't hurt, you're going to be fine. Well, you don't get any growth that way. No pain, no gain. You have to strain your muscles briefly. That's the beauty of it. If you do repetitions with weights correctly, you don't have to do 600 reps. You can do 5 or 6 reps and be done with it. This is what I do. I have a program called the Power of 10. Look it up. Greatest exercise routine I've ever come upon. And it follows this principle in Hebrews 12. I'm still being scriptural. I'm still being scriptural. Shh. I don't want the guy over there to hear this. This is huge truth. What I'm giving you right now. Huge. No pain, no gain. So, you see, when God, this is going to be hard to believe, but when God disciplines you, it's brief compared to the glory. This is why Paul says that the suffering does not deserve the coming glory. And we know that the tribulation is going to be hell on earth. It's going to seem like a long time. But actually, it's only 3.5 years. What do you mean, Martin? Only 3.5 years? That's going to be tough to live through. Yeah, but 3.5 years, what it's buying for the inhabitants of the earth is 1,000 years of bliss. 1,000 years. 3.5 gives you 1,000. Hey, if you could invest $3.5 and get $1,000 back on it, guaranteed, would you do it? Yeah, you'd give more than $3, wouldn't you? So it's the same with exercise. You look up Power of 10. Look it up. Power of 10. You use very heavy weight. Even you old folks can do this. You know, violent movements. You're not helping your muscle. Say you're doing bicep curls. You don't help the muscle with any other muscle part. Very strict, very slow movement. Power of 10 means you take 10 seconds to bring the weight up and you take 10 seconds to lower it. Very slow. It burns, but it's short. You go to failure with only a few reps, and then you don't have to do these endless sets. You see, you hurt yourself. Muscle grows because it repairs itself and it makes itself stronger. So when you're doing the curls, the bicep curls with a dumbbell or a barbell, you're actually tearing your muscle down. And after you do weights or after you sprint or run fast, your muscles are smaller than they were before you did the exercise. But what the body does, it overcompensates to repair. The body says, this moron might do this again tomorrow. So we have to build this muscle tissue back, and we're going to build it stronger this time to resist that moron. And then it builds it back stronger. That's why muscles get bigger. Muscles grow during the rest phase, not the work phase. This gels perfectly with what I talked to you about yesterday with the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The exercise does not seem pleasant while you're doing it, and I can attest to this with every dumbbell curl I've ever done or bench press. It's not pleasant. And the muscle, again, is actually breaking down. And when you're going through a trial, you're breaking down. But it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's such an important verse. I'm going to give it to you again, and I'm going to read it. Verse 11 of Hebrews 12. Now all discipline indeed for the present is not seeming to be a thing of joy, but of sorrow. Yet subsequently, that is afterwards, it is rendering the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those exercised through it. How appropriate that Paul uses the word exercise here. So whether you're working out in the gym or running, walk, run fast, do sprints. Don't go out there and walk for 10 hours. Do a series of 10 short sprints. I do 7 30-second accelerated runs where at the end I'm out of breath and I have to lean over and go, I hate it. It is not a pleasant thing at the time. Yet subsequently, I have this glow, this afterglow of post-exercise euphoria. The body releases endorphins. Same thing with discipline. When your parents spank you, I remember this. You are actually delivered from yourself. And this is what discipline does. And I think it ought to be instigated in schools. Brought back, I should say. That they ought to just spank these kids. I know it's not going to happen. I'm an idealist. I understand this. I know what kind of world we're living in. But it yields peaceable fruit. My kids were so peaceful afterwards. They were almost, after they cried, they were almost laughing. It's like childbirth. I saw my wife give birth to 3 kids, my sons, and the agony was unbelievable. But then afterwards, it's just like she was laughing while she's holding the kids, laughing. An hour before, she was crying. What's up with that? It yields peaceable fruit. If you took a picture of my face while I'm doing bench presses, you think this guy's dying. But afterwards, he's like floating. It's like, that felt so good. You know, the song, the John Cougar Mellencamp song, hurts so good. It hurts so good. Only afterwards. So that's why the disciples in the book of Acts, Peter, John, they're rejoicing. Well, they just got the heck beat out of them. But they're rejoicing afterwards that they've been found worthy to suffer for the sake of Christ. Not during. You're not happy during it. I knew a guy that was like this. He always had to have a smile on his face. That's what his smile sounded like. Everything that happened. Rainy day. Best friend just died. Everything's good. No, it's not. It sucks. Admit it. Stop being a fool. Stop pretending that everything's great, because it's not. This takes training. This is what it's meant by becoming partakers of His holiness. Those exercised by it. This is what it means by being exercised by it. You train yourself to understand the discipline. Oh, and A. E. Nock has another great quote here. Wait a minute. I'm going to try to move here without knocking my Pillow Kingdom down. I'll be back in the... When you hear me on Wednesday tomorrow, I'll be back in the home studio, and I'll make that show on Tuesday night. So now you know my tricks here. God's discipline, human discipline is often a sound. Job, yeah, we did that yesterday. Okay, A. Enoch commenting on verse 10 of Hebrews 12. Human discipline is too often without a definite object or lacks entirely the corrective element which should always be present. That's true. And I will say this. Did I get off topic a little bit? No. Some parents, they discipline their kids out of anger. No, that is very wrong. I'm not for that at all. This is controlled discipline. And you need to understand that God is controlled. It's coming at you with an eyedropper, as I told you last week. Punishment as a mere deterrent or as a penalty is of little use in forming character, and that's what God's after. The ideal chastening is that which fits the offense. Oh, I got something to say on this. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. It fits the offense. It has to fit the offense. That is sane. I know there are some of you have probably had terrible dads, and I'm very sorry that you did. I really am. I had a wonderful father and a wonderful mother, and all the discipline that they did for me was rational. It was reasonable. It fit the crime. Some of you out there, you know, I know your dad just wailed on you with a belt or something if you looked at him wrong. If you came home 5 minutes late or something really crazy, that's not godly. Unfortunately, many people have poor opinion of God because of their earthly fathers. And I mourn this. I really do mourn this. And again, the ideal father, earthly father, will reflect the heavenly father. And I exhort you fathers to do this with your children. All right, I was going to look at something in the scriptures. I forget what now, but let's go back to the commentary. The ideal chastening is that which fits the offense in such a way that it forms and strengthens those elements in character which are weak and which led to the evil doing. See, you're trying to remove evil. Proverbs 20:30 is really great. It says that bruises, welts reach the innermost parts and scourge, scour away evil, bruises, welts. These are injuries, folks. This isn't lightweight stuff. Like moms in the grocery store slapping their wrist. You quit doing that. No, that doesn't work. And the idea is to reform the character, but it has to fit the offense. Now, you know, I've seen some bad parenting in the world, and I've heard mothers say to their kids, you know, Johnny, you better behave yourself or I'm going to ground you for a year. Or something ridiculous like that. You're not going to eat dinner for a month. It's just stupid. And so the kid laughs at it. It's not a deterrent at all because it doesn't fit the crime. Now, Christianity is guilty of this same thing as far as how they say God's going to discipline people. Like, okay, you're a sinner. You're born into sin. You're a dying creature, so of course you're flawed, and now you're telling me that God is going to punish me with eternal torment because I failed to make an important decision to choose him, or I was an alcoholic or something? Eternal torment? The penalty does not fit the crime. This is why the doctrine of eternal torment does not deter anybody from sinning, from any normal thinking person. They just laugh at it. The world laughs its head off at the Christian doctrine of eternal torment. They make cartoons about it because it's a laughingstock, because it's discipline out of proportion to the crime. It's insane. It's irrational. People know God's not that stupid because not even human beings are that stupid, so it does not deter them. If you give them a reasonable discipline, this is what I do. I say, you don't want to miss out on the eons, do you? You know, if I just use that Ionian life thing, that is a great card to play. It's not a card, it's the truth. You know, and God has saved you for eternity, I tell people. You're going to be with God forever. How would you like that? And they all like that idea. And I said, now, if you believe what he says concerning what happened at the cross, you can enjoy these eons, you know? And I know that God's above this. I'm speaking relatively. I'm putting it before them like Paul did. Believe and you shall be being saved. All right, believe and you shall be being saved. You'll come to a realization of the truth. And I set forward the fact of missing the eons. That sounds rational to people, makes them stop and think. Well, I don't want to miss those two eons. You say they're good ones, huh? Oh, yeah, they're great. Well, I don't want to miss those. No, you don't. How do I get in on these eons? Believe what Christ did on the cross for you. It's rational. It's reasonable. And God's discipline of you, though it seems crazy, it's not. It's rational, it's reasonable, it fits the circumstance. Not saying you committed a crime. I almost said it fit the crime. Sorry, no. It fits the circumstance of your life. And it doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It might mean you did, doesn't have to mean you did. It doesn't matter. God is still doing it, whether it's through your flawed character or because he decided you need something like he did with Job. It's all good. All things work together for good. That's the backstop here. Romans 8, without that, I'd go nuts.